I earned my degree online at Arizona State University. I chose to get my degree at ASU because I knew that I'd get a quality education, they were recognized for excellence, and that I would be prepared for the workforce upon graduating. To be associated with ASU, both as a student and alum, it makes me extremely proud, and having experienced the program, I know now that I'm set up for success. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to the podcast.
Well, hey guys, and welcome back to the podcast. This will be part two of the conversation we began last week. I am joined again by my lovely wife. Say hey to everybody.
Hey.
I really enjoyed last week's conversation. Having someone to talk to makes a world of difference than recording something by yourself and trying to teach that way. Obviously, I can do it, but it is nice having a conversation with somebody. So we're going to continue that conversation because I think we only made it last week because of all the bunny trails, maybe halfway, if that, through your message that you shared.
About halfway.
I'm sitting here looking through the notes. But we talked last week about the idea of why God, and that's where it kind of started. So we're going to keep on that same path, but I was looking at your notes, and you mentioned, you know, not just why I choose God, but you put in this, you begin to talk about why I love God or why I believe in God.
Right.
And you put in here, and I like it, you said we get churchy.
Yeah.
Like with the, you know, he died for me.
Mm-hmm.
He made me.
Right.
You know,
he saved me.
Yeah. A lot of churchy answers, but I don't know that it actually gets to, yes, he saved me, but what has he done for you? Like, why do you love God?
Yeah, make it personal.
Like, and I guess starting the conversation with a bunny trail, I know it's easy to say he saved me.
Yeah.
But what does that even mean? Like, did he save you? I think the church world that I grew up in was, it was all about what he saved me from, which is good. But no one ever talked about what you were saved for.
Mm. Yeah.
And so you think about that, and the fact that the truth is, we have a purpose. Like, we're sons and daughters. I forget where the scripture says it, but, you know, it says that we're ambassadors mm-hmm. of heaven. Like, we represent, and I know our pastor, Jeff, preached on kingdom last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a kingdom mandate. He talked about that last Sunday. That we're a part of a different kingdom.
Right.
So, I understand that when people say, well, I love him because he saved me. Okay, but what does that mean to you? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think all too well, we become numb to the fact that that's just the answer that everybody gives. That's the easy answer. That's the expected answer, you know, most of the time that's surface level. but have you ever really thought to, when someone asks you, why God, why Jesus, why do you love him? I mean, why? Can you be real and vulnerable with these, you know, with people, with strangers, with your friends, with whoever it is, and really tell them, this is what God did for me. You know, this is, I was a mess, or I was struggling with, you know, these different things, or my life was falling apart, my marriage was falling apart, my kids are falling apart, you know, just life in general, you feel like is absolutely going insane. And what, when he reaches down and picks you up from the middle of that mess and just holds you, can you describe that to somebody? Do you feel comfortable describing that to someone?
And when you say that about, you know, can you be vulnerable and can you be transparent, there's three stories immediately come to my mind when you talk like that. But before the stories, if you go back to the garden, and I know I just wrote the devotional Echoes of Eden. You can find that on Amazon, Echoes of Eden. And I got some other things in the work with that name. But you go back to the garden, and Adam and Eve were, it says they were naked in the garden.
Right.
And that speaks, I think it has, in my opinion, I think it has
not
less
a physical level.
I think it has less to do with the physical level and more to do with, they were vulnerable and transparent before God in the garden.
Right.
And you talked about, you know, can you be vulnerable and open up? I think I mentioned the story last week when we did this about the blind man, where the Pharisees, you know, God heals a blind man, but there's no evidence that this guy knew who Jesus was. He clearly, they ask him, who healed me or who healed you? And he even answers, I don't know. I just know I was blind and now I can see. You have that story. You have Jesus going to a city and sitting at a well and waiting for one woman to come. And he so impacts her life that she goes back to the city and says, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. And these people would have known her. I mean, she was on, she's had five husbands, and the one she's living with now is not your husband.
Right, yeah.
And she has the audacity to go and run back to the city, who knows what they called her and labeled her as, and say, come meet a man that I was able to be vulnerable with. And then you have the guy, and I may have mentioned him last week, I don't remember, but it's worth noting again, Jesus goes to an area for one man who's naked in a graveyard, cutting himself with rocks and cannot be bound by any chain. And he has one authentic encounter, and that's the man, you know, he asked to go with Jesus. You know, in the leadership stuff I've been taught of, maybe Jesus should let him come with him and let Jesus mentor.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
And Jesus says, no, I need you to stay here. I mean, so these are three stories of people who were able, the town, the cities and the towns that they were in knew them. Like, everybody recognized this man who used to be naked in a graveyard is now clothed in his right mind.
Right. I mean, it goes back to the thing, he meets you in your mess. You know, every single one of those stories, they are struggling and they have no hope almost. You know, they've just been in this cycle and they've become numb to whatever. life has thrown at them, but you also look at it as, you know, from Jesus's perspective, the religious crowd, like, he's not supposed to be around these people. You know, yes. He would have been, I mean, how would it have looked for him to be meeting with a woman who, you know, had been with 5 different husbands and, yes. You know, who, I mean, that would just be
unheard of.
Yes. And look bad on him, but he didn't care.
Jesus would not make it in today's world.
But while you were talking, I just kind of heard the Holy Spirit kind of tell me, you know, you have people that come up to you, and one of the biggest things I've heard is, well, you can't see him. How am I supposed to know he's real?
Yes.
Okay, well, can you, let me see if I can play this in my head and say it correctly, how he gave it to me. Can you give a tangible reason to defend me? Meaning, can your life be shown as a tangible reason?
Oh, well.
Or a tangible vision of God? Because, no, you can't see him physically, but can you?
I mean, we're supposed to reflect him.
Right. So, look at these people's lives, and you go back and you think from that perspective how they once were and how they are now. I mean,
people took notice of their life.
Yeah.
And the difference that it was.
Right.
So can we say the same thing about us?
Can your life be a tangible representation of Christ?
And see, that to me goes back to that. I think we become numb to this.
Mm-hmm.
We have our routines that we're stuck in.
Right.
I'll go to church for Sunday for a couple hours. We watch our watch. Check the time. Is the pastor going too long? Wednesday night, if I have time, I'll make it.
Or
I'm too tired.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell you this, but my uncle Paul messaged me today and asked me to just pray for him because he has to minister Wednesday night. And he told me the message. Uncle Paul, if you listen to this, I'm not going to preach your message, but I think it fits with this. He said he's going to minister on spiritual metabolism.
Okay.
And he said, he just told me to go Google it and send me, you know, see if I saw how that can compare. And I was amazed of how you can take metabolism and pull it to the spiritual realm. Because metabolism takes food.
Right.
To work. So you think about that in the spiritual life.
Burns and creates energy. Yeah.
Yes. So you take that into the spiritual life, and we need
his food.
Things such as prayer, intimacy with God. We need these things as food to eat so that we can have the energy to do whatever the Holy Spirit's asking us to do. And so one of the things as we were messaging each other, I said, it's like the church has, and let me try to get the right word. It's like the church has spiritual anorexia.
Yeah.
We don't eat. We don't take in anything. We live off grandma and grandpa's prayers.
It's also, you could take the disorder of, I think it's bulimia, where they regurgitate.
Yeah.
So you're doing is you're regurgitating what you've heard.
Yes.
But you never take in anything new.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you have... I told him, I said, you have so much people that I meet in the church world or hear about, they're living off grandma and grandpa's prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Their spiritual life involves Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, maybe.
And just like the routine Bible stories.
The routine stuff, whatever the pastor gives on and preaches, mm-hmm. That's my food for the week. Nobody is challenging to see. Is what the pastor is saying accurate? I mean, I think we talked about that last week where you was not allowed to question. I mean, I remember growing up in that. I don't know that anybody ever said you can't question. But it was kind of like...
That's
how you felt. Like, yeah. You're not allowed to question anything. Like, if the pastor says it, that's it. you know, and I,
and they just have a better understanding.
Yes. But that, and now so we have this church world of, that's what I'm fed. And we're living off milk from the pastor instead of living in, excuse me, going home and eating our own meat.
Right.
And having our own walk with God.
It never becomes more than surface level.
It goes back to, we're just, it feels like we're numb. Another word I can think of, we're complacent to this. And that's a problem.
It's a dangerous place to be.
That's a problem, and these same people, and I'm not going to stay on this topic too long, but these are the people who you hear talk about, just, I can't wait for the Lord to come back and get me. They're waiting to get off the planet. Like, what are you doing now? How do I say this? There are so many people that say, oh, I believe he's coming back soon. And here's my argument to why I do not believe those people even believe that. If you really believed that he was coming back in the next week,
you'd be doing a whole lot more.
You'd be doing a whole lot more for the kingdom. But it's like I told Uncle Paul, we've got more church people who are just, because low metabolism can cause you to have issues losing weight.
Right, yeah.
I said, so you have a lot of Christians, and it also said that they can, blood metabolism can cause you to be moody, and there was something else in there, I'd have to go back and look. But so, we have people who, we got the church world who's just, you got fat and happy Christians, who are moody.
But are they really happy?
No, that's just the term I'm using. I think they may think they're happy, but their face says a whole other thing. They are not happy at all. But it says, oh, and it also can cause fatigue. So you've got these church people who are fat and happy, quote unquote.
Energy.
They have no energy.
No passion.
No passion. None of that.
Yeah.
That's a problem. I mean, so, and it's crazy how you would get to this kind of discussion as far as being numb and then. To me, all this kind of ties into being numb and complacent just by asking the question of, why God for you?
We don't know how to answer that question anymore.
I don't think we do.
And that's what's so important, especially for teenagers, if they can catch that now. I think, because, I mean, thinking back, I never really, I just knew I was saved. You know, like I repeated the prayer. I knew I loved God and I wanted to do what he wanted me to do and to fulfill his purpose. And I always struggled knowing my purpose. But to take it beyond that, to know that there's more that he does. And I think as you grow older and you have more life problems, you know, it's easier for you to understand that. Mm-hmm. As teenagers, you know, especially nowadays, they have it a whole lot rougher than we did as, you know, kids and teens.
Yes, in today's world, absolutely.
But I think that's why it's so important for them to catch it now, because of all the things that they're struggling with now.
Yes.
That we did not have to go through.
And, you know, you even mentioned the whole prayer thing. And, you know, I told God several years ago that I'm no longer going to do a sinner's prayer. A, I don't find it biblical. You don't find Jesus having people repeat a prayer. I completely 100% agree and understand that that's some people's starting point. And mm-hmm. I'm by no means throwing any kind of darts to, if that's your starting point,
you need
that's
a guideline.
Great. Stay there.
Right.
But I don't think that's the answer long term. But you even take that concept, and I remember, and this is throwing no shade to all the concerts and stuff, but you even think about Winter Jam. I grew up around Winter Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have thousands of people, teenagers, repeat a prayer, and it's like people are more focused on a number.
Not saying they are.
Not saying they are.
Yeah.
But it seemed like people were more focused on a number.
And some, I believe, are.
And
to go back and report to whoever they have to report to.
Less on, because my thought as I got older was, you're having all these people repeat a prayer.
How do you keep up with them?
How do you keep up with them?
Yeah.
Who's discipling them?
Right.
And I remember the Holy Spirit teaching me a lesson with the whole prayer. He said, you could have the same people do the same process, bow your head, close your eyes, repeat after me, the sky is yellow. And everybody would repeat it. But did anybody believe it?
Mm-hmm.
And like we read, I think the next verse talks about, because I know where all that comes from, that it, the heart that believes, then the mouth will confess it. Like, we try to get people to confess something they don't believe yet.
Right.
But if I can get people to believe, these teenagers to believe, Christ is already in you. He's already set you free. He's already won the battle. The gospel's actually better than we thought it is. If I could get these young people to believe that, they will automatically begin to confess that.
Right.
And I think we've flipped it. And we've made it more about getting people to repeat prayers. So stuff will look good. But there's seems to be hardly any discipleship.
We've almost made it to where we let the world label us and label them instead of spiritual mothers and fathers labeling them.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
You do not see spiritual mothers and fathers, I don't feel like, as much.
Right.
I can start to see it coming back alive.
I think, too, it depends on, I mean, in this day and time, unfortunately, respect is a little lacking.
Yes.
So I think it may not be that there's not as many. I think some of them get turned away, which I could see it both ways. You know, you also have to be willing to receive that spiritual mother or father.
Yes.
In order for them to, you know, be that position in your life.
Yes. 100% agree with that. Sorry. Here we go. This is what I was trying to find, so I'll read it for those listening. It's Romans 10:9. That's where we get the whole idea about the prayer. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, this is NLT, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But the church likes to pick out one scripture at a time and not look at it in context.
Well, if you think about it at that whole surface level.
Yes.
That sounds great. You know, I'm going to say, hey, I believe in God.
But okay. That's the...
But when you take that and you take it further and you have that relationship with him, your life speaks that for itself.
So
you don't have to have a verbal.
Right. But it's the next verse. Because it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved.
But shouldn't your life openly declare it?
Yeah. But it's only going to happen. That's only going to happen when your heart actually believes it.
Right.
And we've beat people over the head and tried to make people, you need to get cleaned up beforehand.
Right.
And again, not saying that that was ever said,
get
but that's almost.
Straight.
Yes.
And then come and.
That was almost, again, it was never said like that. But that's no. Kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think some churches were a little bit more literal with that than others, but I could see that.
But, and again, this all comes back to, we're just numb to everything.
Well, I think one of our students had made the comment, you know, and I think it was in this message about, well, how do I know that I am?
I think so, yeah.
Because, you know, she believes, but then she's like,
It's how the enemy likes to play in your head.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I've repeated the sinner's prayer over my life.
Oh, me too. How many times I went to the altar. I think and I made every Sunday habit of going to the altar.
Right, and you still have this voice in your head trying to say, are you though? Are you really saved?
Yeah.
So, and I know, you know, people argue that's the enemy in fighting you and everything like that. But also, it's a sign of, okay, my heart's not on that level yet. But you also have to use your words to speak that it's coming. The more you hear yourself say that, you know, and the more you get into his word, the more...
There's your key right there.
Yeah.
The more you get into his word.
You have to spend time with someone.
You have to make this real for you. Because, I mean, I can't run off your story, right, and you can't run off my story. Yes, there are stories, and they help encourage other people who may not be where we are, or, you know, whatever.
I think what a good thing is, what you're trying to say is, you can't find your passion in my story.
Yes. That is really good.
You have to have your own story. And honestly, all you have to do is just get down sit down with a pen and paper and just write down everything that you're thankful for. And then if you start going out to the sides and kind of come off it, like, why are you thankful for this? Why did he do that? Well, he did this and this. And there's your story right there.
And I mean, because you think about the three people I mentioned earlier, the blind man, the woman at the well, all those. They definitely had a story, and they were telling the people. We never know, as far as I know in the scripture, we never know how their story impacted other people to say, well, if he can set you free, then I want to meet this man too.
And a lot of
times, other blind people heard the blind man's story and said, wait a minute, if he can heal you, I want to meet this man.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times too, you think, I know this may be a little bit of a rabbit hole, but you think, man, I messed up. Say you've fallen somewhere along the way.
Right.
And we beat ourselves up. Well, not only do we beat ourselves up, but if anybody finds out, they beat you up too.
Yes.
They're going to hit you over your head. You'll never forget it because...
That's because your sin's out in the open now.
That's right. But you don't stop to think, you know, I know God does not cause the problem.
Right.
God can work the problem to, you know...
To your good.
But then you also start thinking, well, how can good come out of this? And it's like, okay, well, you know, you were allowed to walk through this for a reason.
Yep.
And then you start thinking, who is going to cross my path that needs my story?
Very true.
I went through this for a reason.
Yes.
Went through this season for a reason.
But, you're a poet and didn't know it.
Right. But, you know, everything, especially if you give it to God.
Yes.
That's the key. You can't make things work out on your own. Lord knows I've tried. It does not work.
No, I just make a mess of it when I put it in my hands.
You just have, but you also have to be willing to put in the work. And I think one of the hardest things that I've had to learn is you have to learn to be still.
It can be very hard to do.
And you have to be so in tune with him that you know his voice. You know what he's telling you.
Which, again, only comes from you spending time, because he talks to us in different ways.
I don't know why I'm saying all that. But anyway, somebody needed it, I guess.
But, I mean, it's true. But the only way that ever happens is if you spend time. Because he speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to you differently than he speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
So and you have to know times. For Amanda how Amanda hears from God.
Yeah.
The same way Chris does.
And trust me, what works for you does not work for me.
Nope. And what works for you does not work for me.
God, I can talk to you
but
while I'm
washing
dishes.
It's the same way with our kids.
Yeah.
We have to speak to our kids differently.
Right.
Trinity, our youngest daughter, you cannot raise your voice. She gets really upset if you use a loud tone. Kaylin, our oldest daughter, you can yell that all day long and it doesn't affect.
She doesn't think you're being serious unless you're yelling.
Exactly. But, you know, you mentioned the whole writing the list thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you said that, I was reading your notes here. You know, maybe this would be good for people to do. When you're trying to make your list, you know, does he talk to you? Does he protect you? Does he show up for you when no one else does?
Yeah.
Do you have that small voice that's always there encouraging you to keep going? That whisper to you that there's more?
Yeah, on your darkest days. When there's you feel like giving up.
Still inside you saying, don't give up yet. And it may just be the smallest, the quietest voice inside of you, but if you'll pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And allow that voice to grow louder, to silence everything else. Like, that's part of the story. And I know I've heard even Damon Thompson talk about this, that storms cause amnesia. When we're going through a storm, we forget how faithful God was before.
Yeah.
You think of you think of David and Goliath.
Yeah, his staff.
His staff. That was not taught growing up. It was David and Goliath. He had a slingshot. There it was. It's a cute little Bible story, I guess. But no one ever told me he had a staff.
Well, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he only had to carry it for half or three quarters of the way.
That part I don't know.
Because at some point, you know, you've got to rear back for the slingshot.
So kinda, he may have laid the staff down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, it just seems like that's when it becomes real. When you can lay the staff down.
That's a good point. And people, for those that don't understand, as far as the staff is concerned, David did not have post-it notes, and he didn't have an iPhone or Android for all the sinners out there.
Notepad.
He didn't have any of this to keep notes of important dates. So they say that shepherds back then would have used their staff to notch in important things to remember. Well, if David killed a lion and a bear,
mm-hmm.
and maybe David did, and I've never seen his staff, but if I killed a lion and a bear, I'm notching that on my staff.
That would make it, yeah.
I mean,
put it on your resume.
So when you're going up against Goliath, he's probably needing that. I mean, he don't act like he does as far as when he's talking to Saul, because he hears this uncircumcised Philistine, and who does he think he is?
Mm-hmm.
But when he's marching toward that giant and he sees that staff, he remembers God's done brought me through the lion. He's brought me through the bear. This giant is nothing. Set my staff down. I'm releasing a rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm releasing a stone. A river stone? Is that what he used?
Probably, I think.
I got some things swirling in me right now.
Faith like a mustard seed. Teeny tiny.
Not even just that, but you think how many times... And this is totally new. This is so those listening, this you're getting hot off the press. Because I've never thought about this till just now and saying this. He used a river stone. And just thinking about that word, Christ is the stone that was rejected. And he's also the river of life.
Mm.
So when he puts a slingshot in his hand and uses what God has gifted him to do, and he puts Christ in it.
Mm, that's good.
He releases Christ to defeat the giant.
That's right. Good.
And then it says he used Goliath's sword to chop off his head. Well, we also have a sword. But you have to know how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't spend time with him for yourself to be able to answer the questions like you were asking, you don't know how to use a sword.
That's good.
I see it on your face. Go ahead.
I know. I just kind of have my wheels turning. It just... and I don't know if this is correct or not, but it makes you think, okay, so why did he use Goliath's sword?
Well, I know he didn't have one, supposedly.
Right, but why that way?
I don't know. You have something stirring. You might as well just go ahead and say
I'm
it.
It just makes you wonder sometimes when we reject Christ, we cut off our own heads with our own tools.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think, like, it just popped in my head. Well, it didn't pop. The Holy Spirit, I'm sure, placed it there, because I know I couldn't come up with that. But when you said that, you know, he got Goliath's sword and cut his head off with his own sword.
Yes.
Okay. And to me, it's just representation of that's what we do. That's what we do in our walk with Christ. That's what we do when we reject him. So when you hear all these people say, well, why would God, you know, why would a good God send you to hell? Or why would a good God, you know, cause these things to happen? Sometimes it's our own tools that cut our own heads off.
Yes.
And our reluctance to acknowledge the one who whispers those encouragements, that still small voice that there's more. And when you finally come to that point in your life, the end, right there is the end. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you acknowledge God as God, or do we cut our own heads off?
That's good. And it made me, so I was sitting here thinking, you're talking about using Goliath's sword against him. The whole releasing the stone, river stone. So he's releasing Christ. The name David means beloved.
Right.
So, and if you read the whole story about how he's interacting with Saul, and Saul's trying to put this, I know this is completely off topic. And again, side note, footnote, whatever you want to call it, we don't claim to be right in everything. We're just having a discussion. We're right. Asking questions, and
these are discussions that we would have sitting on the couch.
That's exactly right. And this is some stuff that's just dropping in our spirits as we're talking. I would like to dive a little bit deeper into this. But the name Beloved, David means beloved. He's having a conversation with Saul. Saul tries to he says, you know, here's the armor. And David tries it. He said, but I haven't tested this. This is not who I am.
Well, it didn't fit either.
So David knows who David is.
Yeah.
He does not seem concerned with the size of the giant at all.
Right.
So you have someone who knows he's beloved with the tools that God has graced him with, in the outfit and the attire, the clothing, I'm trying to think of how best to put that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Goes out there with Christ, releases Christ to take down the giant. Goliath's mean would have meant would mean to uncover, to remove, or to go into exile.
Mm.
So he releases Christ to take down the one who would take him into exile.
Well, and it's funny because what ties that back into what we were talking about is you think the armor of Saul did not fit David.
Yes.
So he had to go out vulnerable.
Yeah.
Vulnerable.
He had no armor to protect
with
him.
With God.
Ooh. Because you think about that. He didn't have armor to protect him.
No. But he didn't need it.
He was a shepherd boy. Like, he's probably just wearing some rags.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the protection like Saul did.
No. He was
But he had the protection
vulnerable.
That Saul didn't have.
Right.
Ooh, that would preach.
That was a good one.
That's really good.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
So, going back to this, you know, you mentioned, where is our passion for the one and only in the entire universe that knows you and loves you and holds you?
Yeah.
Where's the fire for the one that gives you breath? Because that's so true. We don't think about, and I know the human body is so complex
that
we don't even realize. I think of when I was reading recently, I even saw like the DNA in our bodies. If we were to take it out and stretch it, it'd be like miles long.
Right. What does that say about God if we're in His image?
But you even take something so, just like DNA and the complexity of that. We don't understand because our bodies do it naturally what our body does to breathe.
Yeah. Don't even have to think about it.
And if Christ was not in us, we would cease to exist.
Mm.
And we don't think about any of this. Like, we don't think about, without Christ, we're absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's only in Him that we have our being.
That's
even
right.
The atheist who doesn't believe, Christ has to be inside of him or her in order for that to be, for them to continue breathing.
Because God is life.
Because without Him, they cease to exist. And it's why, and I know I've had people tell me I'm wrong or whatever, but I wholeheartedly believe, according to what I read and how I read it in the New Testament, that Christ is already within everyone we encounter. They just don't know it yet. And it takes us, going back to the beginning of this, it takes us living out what God has done for us to cause that to stir up and rise up out of them.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you do take it to heart and you do need help as far as, you know, where does your story start? What has God done for you? If you sit down to make that list of everything that you are thankful for, there's a sentence that has stuck with me for years that I have heard, and sometimes I still replay it in my head, especially on days where I am so frustrated and I feel like I am alone or I feel like I'm stuck, or you just feel like, God, you know, what are you doing right now? You know, the blessings that I've had are seem so far away.
Yes.
You know, what are you doing for me now? Which I know it's not about that, but it's like, where's my breakthrough? If you're really struggling, you know, it's an honest question.
Very honest.
If you sit down in this statement, I don't know who said it, but it's, what if you woke up tomorrow?
I know where you're going, yeah.
With the things that you thanked God for today.
We'd have a lot less stuff.
Yeah, but would you be breathing?
That's a good question.
Would you be seeing?
Probably not.
Would you be hearing? I mean, it's just, but on a lighter note, I mean, it does make you think. Those things that we take for granted every single day.
Yes.
That God gives you, just as simple as your next breath.
Yeah.
And we take it for granted.
Yep.
Oh, you know, it's not a big deal.
We're numb to it.
Yeah. But it's amazing. It is truly amazing how your body works. And to think, you don't ask for it. You don't, He just gives it to you.
Freely.
Freely.
For you to do with whatever you want to do with it. Like, you get that choice. You get that option to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's even Paul that says, you know, he basically says, I can do anything I want, but not everything's expedient. Like, I mean, you can go out there and do whatever you want to do. You can go stand in traffic if you want to. Probably not going to end well. Like, we don't think about anything regarding that.
Right. Well, I mean, what is worth doing? If you look at everything God gives you freely every single day, what is worth doing?
I mean, other than
that's
worshiping,
a hard question.
Other than when you put it that way, other than worshiping Him,
And see,
like, what is worth doing.
And there you go. That's what heaven's about.
That's just...
just to be continuously thanking and praising Him. That's why you think about it. It's like prayers, you know. You just pray all day long. Like, yeah, you just...
It's so easy. It's so easy to complain until you start having this kind of conversation. And then, like, if you brought me through this before, and I think I've said this to even our I don't know who, I think I said this to our teenagers one time. He never brought us this far to leave us.
Yeah.
But yet again, storms cause amnesia, and we think because we're facing the biggest storm of our life that He's somehow going to say, ah, good luck, friends.
But yet, look how small we are on this planet and how small our storms must look.
So true. So true.
He's up there just, oh, if they only knew.
But I think it all, in my opinion, I think it all speaks to, we have to be mindful about our perspectives.
Yeah. We get too caught up.
We get too focused on... It goes back to Peter walking on the water. And I think I may have done this in my TikTok recently. As long as Peter remained focused on Jesus, he was okay. It was when he took his eyes off the prize and began to focus on the waves that he began to sink.
Right.
I mean, there's...
That's how we do now.
Yeah. We complain.
I mean, tell me a person that can honestly sit and you put worship music on and your problems don't just disappear.
That's true.
Whether it be for that moment, because you pick it up after the music stops.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's kind of hard to focus on your storm and your problems when you're in that moment of worship.
When you're with Him. Wow.
And that's what I hope, you know, the lesson that was given to me, I hope that helped some of our teens realize, you know, I want them to be closer to Him at their age than I was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want them to hunger and thirst for the things of God.
Yeah.
And
to be able to explain it. To be able to know better than I did at their age why I believe what I believe. And
you can't convince me otherwise.
When you have that personal experience, that personal relationship, nobody's going to change your mind.
And you take that many teenagers, if they begin to buy into that, actually believe this,
how many they could touch.
Well, not just that, but you think if they all came together, and I know we're starting tomorrow night a 3-week lesson on worship, and then we're going to have a youth worship service. You take that right there, this concept, and if they would believe this and be able to begin to think about, why do I follow Christ? Why do I love God? When you put that type mentality in a room together, and they begin to go after God and worship, what environment does that create for the atheist, for example, to come in to the room and have an encounter with somebody they didn't even believe in before they walked in?
Yeah.
Or the homosexual, or the abused, or the addict, any of these you pick and choose. When those young people become so focused on God, in a service or, you know.
Your worship is what sets the atmosphere.
Yeah. And I sit here, it would be completely amazing. I was listening to a podcast today. Damon Thompson and Bryn Waddell was doing one of their kingdom conversations. And Damon talked about in the Old Testament, there was times when the glory would fall in such a way that the priest could not stand to minister.
People wouldn't know what to do.
I don't have to get up there and teach.
Yeah. If you have the presence.
And that's what I want. Like, I don't want it to ever... I never want it to be, I'm 35, and if I get to minister for the next 55 years, I never want it to make any moment to become about me and my gifts and my anointing. If God shows up in the room, I think Lance Johnson even said that night we went to Harvest and heard him. I think he made that statement that if God shows up, that's what he prays when he goes to all these places. Like, if he don't get to touch the mic, that's completely fine with him. And it's the same way when I'm dealing with these young people and these teenagers. If we could begin to teach this kind of stuff and have them actually believe it, mm-hmm. What are we creating for the future teenagers coming in?
Well, I think, too, going back to the numb feeling, I think they're tired of hearing the same old stories 100%. All the time.
It's like I said before, they're tired of hearing it. They want to see it.
They want to see it. They want to experience it for themselves. And, you know, one thing that people need to understand, Chris and Amanda, we fail.
Yep.
Chris and Amanda may not always be here.
Yep.
And God, but God never leaves.
That's exactly right.
God never fails. That's who you go after.
Yes.
That presence.
Like, don't look to me to be the answer.
Don't look to any man to be the answer.
If you have, I mean, obviously we know, and this goes without saying, I feel like, but if you have questions, you know, ask somebody.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's going to be times that, if we're all honest, I'm going to have to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
In fact, personally,
I hope we get to that point.
In fact, personally, the more revelation, and I know we're totally off topic and I'm going to try to wrap this up, but the more revelation that I feel like the Holy Spirit gives me, the less I feel like I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to what we just thought about, the whole David and Goliath thing. I have never considered that.
And it's funny because I just heard, you know, and that is when you enter another level of water. Mm. That's when you know that you've entered another level of that ocean.
Wow.
You took another step. And then when another wave hits you, because see, you can stand completely still in an ocean.
Yeah.
And still be moved.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to embrace it. What do you do when you are moved and you turn around and you look and you're like, oh my goodness, how did I get way out here? What do? You go back.
Yeah.
Because you think you're too deep.
Yeah.
And that's just what I heard, and it may just be for you. But when you said that, I heard him say, and that's when you know you've reached another depth, another level.
Wow.
Sorry. Well, I'm no, I'm not, but...
I'm just trying to think how to close this at this point. I don't know, and I don't know if you have the same feeling, but when you sit and actually start talking to someone about all this stuff, it does something inside.
Like, yeah. Makes you emotional.
It really does. Because you think about all the complaints you have, and, you know, we got our own stories that we're looking at. But when you compare those to everything he's brought you through, how could he fail you? And if we really believe that he's good, how could he fail you? If I wouldn't let down my own children, if
yeah,
what that whatever means possible,
yeah,
then I'm either a better father than he is, or he is better than we believe him to be.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not a better father than he is.
I think a lot of times we focus more on the wrath of God because of the fact that fear brings obedience.
It's a different subject.
But
we'll even go into that rabbit hole.
Well, I'm gonna finish it anyway. But but when you focus on the love of God,
yeah,
that's a whole nother open door right there.
It's because we don't understand what wrath actually is.
Yeah.
Because his wrath is actually love.
Yeah. Just like a parent corrects their son
it's
or their child.
I forget who told the story, but there's a kid out playing and the mama is coming at them, running at them with one of those big long, like a machete.
Oh my.
Running at the kid with the machete and the kid is bracing. And the mom runs past the kid and kills a snake. The child never saw the snake. But that mama's wrath was not aimed at that child.
Right.
It was aimed at what was coming after the child.
That's right.
And I've heard
that's
this
good.
Said, if it was Bill Johnson or Damon Thompson, that said, his wrath is aimed at whatever interferes with love in you.
Mm.
And I'm going to tell this story just because I can. And I've heard Damon Thompson talk about a spiritual daughter that he has battling some sort of cancer. I don't know what kind of cancer it was. But he said he remembered being in the hospital room and her laying there. And he said, I literally hated the cancer. And I wanted to crawl into her body and choke out every cancer cell in there. And he said, the moment I began to think like that, he heard God speak and said, that is my wrath.
Mm.
It's never aimed at us. It could feel that way if you don't trust him.
Yeah.
If you don't trust that he's good, if you don't have history with him, if you don't have intimacy with him, and if you don't know him for yourself, it can feel like it's aimed at you.
Well,
but what's it in fact aimed at is whatever is interfering with his love in you.
And then you have to look at yourself and say, okay, so I am that attached to whatever it is that he's trying to get rid of.
Yeah. That's a topic for another day. I don't even know how long this podcast is.
We could do this all night.
We could. I could sit here and go through a lot of this all night long.
Just back and forth.
I think it's...
Yeah.
I think it goes back to last week. We have to be able to answer the why question for ourselves.
Yeah. I think that's where it starts, because then once you know that, I think that truly is our beginning to finding and moving forward in
yeah.
our relationship with him.
Yeah.
You have to know why.
You have to know why, and you got to quit being numb to it. Like, I think it comes down to a word that I like to use, be intentional.
Yeah.
Be intentional with your life.
And to stop being ashamed of it.
Yeah. That's good.
Don't be ashamed of your story.
Because it's your story.
Yeah.
And your story has a purpose.
The devil tries to get in your head saying that, and I've said this quite a few times, you know, the devil's biggest tactic is to isolate you.
Absolutely.
To keep you quiet, because you think you're alone, so you don't speak out, you don't ask for help, you don't tell nobody what you're going through.
Yep.
When in all reality, if you speak it, you share your story, you share your struggle.
Yes.
Then comes your freedom.
Yep. You have to be honest
about
where you're at.
You're no longer bound to
that
thing in your life. And not only that, is you realize, hey, you know, I'm not the only one. People flock to you and say, look, I dealt with this. I did this. I did this. You know, you're not alone.
Yeah.
But man, if you didn't know your why.
Yeah. That's good. How do we end this?
Bye. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead and pray.
Yeah, I think this is just a pray good place to... I think this is a good place to land it. There's probably going to be a part three at this point because we still didn't finish your notes.
What?
You taught this in like 30 to 40 minutes, but you didn't have me going through the rabbit trails.
That's true. We can't confuse all of
our
them.
Our first one was 42 minutes long, and this one went over that. So
you need to stop talking.
I hope people are listening. I really do. But if it's just me and you having a conversation, then that is what it is.
It is.
People just miss the best part.
That's right.
So I'll pray us out. And,
go ahead.
If you have questions, if people are listening, you want to contact us, you can email us. All you got to do is send an email to Chris. That's Chris @ echoofeden.life. That's echoofeden.life. life. We'd love to have people reach out, and you know, if you have questions, or maybe you just hate to listen to the podcast. I don't know why you stuck around this long, but you know, whatever you want to do. But you can reach out to us like that. And we'll be back again next week. We're going to go through the month of June, and then I'm going to take a break for a couple months to get ready for season 2, which I am very excited for. I hope to have more conversations like this. I've got some men that I want to speak to. My wife will be on a couple of those, and she don't know that yet, so I'm getting a funny look. But I've got a couple that I want to sit down and have a conversation with her. But anyhow, so Father, we just thank you.
Yes.
We thank you for this time together. We pray for our listeners. We pray for your people. God, that something that we have said during this will impact their lives, that you would impact their spirits and cause them to ask the questions. Because, Papa, I believe that the questions that we ask is what helps draw us in deeper. Because as any parent, you have to know that your kids are going to ask questions. And that opens up a door for a deeper level of intimacy with you.
Right.
So I pray that something that we've said has stirred their spirit. And maybe they're struggling with something or wrestling with something. Or maybe they realize, you know what, I've become numb to your goodness. I've become numb to what you're doing in my life, or what you've done for me previously, and how you've rescued me, and how you've blessed me, and how you've sustained me through the trials and tribulations of my own life. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help them with that numbness, that they would begin to come alive and breathe new life into them. Mm-hmm. And we ask all this in your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed, guys.